Good to have our visitors. Good to have our young friends over there. Good to have Jace Michael Ray back with us. Been a while. Dana's back there in the nursery with the youngest one. So good to have all of you with us. If you'll turn your Bibles again to one more time to to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to finish up our message on do not waste the gifts of God. We have been going through this for 4 or 5 weeks now. All the messages and the outline is online on our website. Our other messages and outlines are on there, those that we put up. We started this in verse 30 of Hebrews chapter 10, and please listen to the Word of God very closely. It says, "For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, again and again, the Lord shall judge his people." The Lord will judge his people, but he will also judge the lost. The Lord will judge the lost by vengeance. He will judge us by love. And verse 32 says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while as you were made a gazing stock, both by reproach and affliction, and partly while as ye become companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyful the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring stance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Now listen closely to the rest of this. "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Isn't that wonderful? We can trust God in his promises. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So we have looked at this under do not waste God's gift. God has been gracious unto us. God has given us great gifts as Christians. Everything in our life as a Christian, it's a gift from God. Even our trials and persecutions, tribulations, all of these things, God has a purpose for in our lives. But the greatest gift God ever gave to us was Jesus Christ. Him to come to this world, born as a woman, the Son of God, and to walk on this earth and do the will of God while he was here. And not only doing the will of God, but also providing our salvation path. Because everything Jesus Christ done, he done for us. He done it by the Father's will, but he done it for us. He fulfilled the law in order that we could fulfill law. He lived a perfect life that we could live a perfect life in him. He earned his way back into the kingdom of God, and he earned our way into the kingdom of God by becoming a lamb that was perfect. Giving his life on that cross, bearing our sins, that God could forgive our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. But let's go, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2. So our next to the last point is, a true believer is God's child and led by the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. We do not accomplish things on our own. God makes sure we accomplish them. If God depended upon us to do things on our own, we would fail. We fail at every turn if we do them on our own. Salvation is a gift of God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith. So how are we saved? By grace. By the grace of God. How are we saved? Through faith. And listen to the next part. And that not of ourselves. If it's of grace, it's not of us. If it's of faith, it's not of our faith. Because both grace and faith were gifts of God to us. And it goes on to say, it is the word salvation. Because God's talking about salvation, isn't he? So the word it is salvation. So salvation is the gift of God. What part of it? All of it. Every single solitary bit of salvation is on God's part. None of ours. It is not by decision. It is not by choice. It is not by turning over a new leaf. It's not by praying a prayer. It's totally the gift of God. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. He convicts our heart. He quickens our spirits. That's convicting our heart. It's quickening our spirits. And gives us the faith to believe. And we believe with that faith. The faith is not ours. The faith is Jesus Christ. If you go over to Galatians, we're saved by the faith of Christ, not by our faith. Our faith is too weak to save us. So it's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of ourselves, not of works. Now, what's that mean? Does that mean we don't work our way into heaven? Hey, yes, that's what it means. But it means also that salvation is nothing to do with anything on your part. No matter what you may think, no matter what you may believe, you must listen to the entire Word of God and take the Word of God instead of arguing with it. Take it for what it means. And what it means is salvation has no works on our part to it. None. The faith is not ours. The grace is not ours. The saving ability is not ours. The quickening of spirit isn't ours. So that does away with all parts of the human part of it. We are blessed recipients of God's grace. In verse 10, verse 10 of Ephesians 2, it says, listen, it goes on. He continues from there, doesn't he? Not only is grace and faith God's gift to us, but listen to verse 10, for we are his workmanship. You know what workmanship means? It means we are his creation. Just like he created Adam from the dust of the ground, he creates us as Christians. He creates our works in us. And everything we do as Christians is a gift from God. He doesn't give that gift to every Christian. See, God gives his blessings to us, his grace to us, and measures he bestows upon us as he chooses. He doesn't give everybody the same measure of grace. He doesn't give everybody the same work. If he did, then why isn't everybody a pastor? Why isn't everybody a church member? Why isn't everybody doing their works for the Lord? Why doesn't everybody believe everything of the Bible the same? It's because everything is a diverse gift of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 11. So we are his creation, listen, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created unto Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Listen, it gets better. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, if God ordained that we should walk in our works, then what are we going to do in the time? We're going to walk in them works, aren't we? We're not going to fail. God doesn't ordain things and we fail in them. Everything God ordains is accomplished. God never fails. Therefore, if we as Christians, as we as churches, are ordained of God to walk in certain works, we will work in them, walk in those works. Churches don't fail because they fail. Churches fail because God's done with them. Sinners that are saved sometimes doesn't fall back in sin. God hasn't ordained them to be what we are. We have to count our blessings. We have to understand the sovereign work of God in our lives and what He's given us as Christians, as church members, and as churches. And understand the importance of all that. And you keep going back to one passage in the Scriptures, don't you? Where Paul said, after all the works he'd done as a Christian, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said grace was given to all of them. But I didn't waste what grace was given to me. Paul went out and worked. He fought. And you know what? Everything the Apostle Paul did in his life, everything every Christian in the Bible did in their life was ordained of God. See, it's not to criticize those that don't. It's to make us that do have works in the Lord to thank God that God saw fit to allow us to do those works. Go to Ephesians 4, if you will, while you're there in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, and that you put on the new man. That's our requirement, isn't it? What's the new man? That's our Christian new nature, isn't it? That's the new nature we acquire when we're saved, isn't it? From God. He says that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's our job to put that new man on and walk in it. God's given it to us. God's given us the ability to walk in it. Why aren't we walking? You say, well, now you just said that things are of God. God created us. Whatever we do, our walk in life is God ordained. That does not excuse Christians not to walk. You know why? Because if it did, it would excuse lost people of not being saved. It would excuse atheists of not believing. But what did God say in Romans 1? He said, you can look at the creation of the universe, the creation of the world, and you are without excuse. Human responsibility is that we believe. Human responsibility as Christians is that we put on the new man and walk in that new man. That is not a request, it is an order from God. If we fail, it's our responsibility. How do you learn the Word of God? How do you learn the things in this Bible? You open it and you read it. And you study it. And you go to church and you listen to the messages. And you write your little notes, either on a pad in your Bible, wherever you'll write them. And you keep up with definitions of words, you keep up with meanings of things, and you study those things. I'll never forget Grandma May Hammond, Horace Hammond, Charles Hammond's mother, never went to church. She did not have a pad and a pencil. And she would take notes of every message, every scripture, every point. She sometimes told me, said, Randy, it's hard to follow you. I said, well, I understand that. Because sometimes I don't read the points. I just kind of go from one point to the other. But she would write everything she down as she could best understand it. And she would take those notes home with her, and she would sit at her little table in her kitchen, and she would sit there and open her Bible every morning. She would read her Bible and study those notes. By all the messages. That's what we do. We study. What did the Lord say? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Second, let's go back to our text scripture in Hebrews chapter 10 as we're closing this message out. And look at verse 35. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, our text says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. This word confidence, you know what it means? It means boldness. The Lord's telling us not to cast away our boldness in the scriptures, our boldness in the works of God, our boldness in what God has created us, our boldness in what we've learned, our boldness in what we understand of the scriptures. We are not to cast it away, because it is that boldness in us, that learning, that education, that standing on the truth and not wavering, that causes us to walk properly in the Lord. And that's where the last part, which has recompense and reward. The power of God and His promises never leave nor forsake us. Ever. God said in Hebrews 13:5, the last part, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In anything. In nothing. Will God ever leave us nor forsake us? We're never alone. You're never by yourself. You never study. You never go to church. You never learn by yourself. The Holy Spirit is in us. He's constantly there, 24/7, 365, working within us to cause us to be good Christians for the Lord. So we can recompense our reward in the end. That's our boldness. Neither should we ever leave nor forsake God. And that includes His Word. So many today are leaving the Word of God. They're leaving the doctors. They're leaving the truth. This wokeism, this trash out there is causing Christians to rethink things. And the worst thing a Christian can do is start thinking too much. I'd say that, but it's true. Just read your Word. Read the 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 Word. Don't care what people think. Don't care what your Facebook friends think about you. I don't. Every one of them can delete me. I could care less. I'll still have my good Christian friends. And you know what? That's the ones I love the most. Our confidence or our boldness strengthens our faith in God, doesn't it? It does. You know why? It leans us back into what God has done and what God can do and what God might be doing. We certainly don't know what God is doing, do we, until God reveals it to us. And He will when He does it. You don't know if somebody's ever going to be saved? When God saves them, they'll be saved. Outside of that, we don't have any idea. We don't know. It strengthens our boldness and faith in God. But it also strengthens our faith in God and His sovereign powers in us. I love the sovereignty of God. I know most people in the quote-unquote religious Christian religion doesn't like the sovereignty of God. People don't like God having power over them. I don't. That's the reason he says over in Romans 1:25 that they will create a religion on their own. I'm paraphrasing. They will create a religion on their own that eliminates the powers of God and puts all the powers in their hands. You know who loses? They lose. You know what they lose? They lose everything. They lose the fact that God is sovereign. They hate it. That God works in us. That the Holy Spirit resides in us. That Jesus Christ saves sinners because they think they save themselves. That that God works in our lives every day. And then here they get in trouble. What's the first thing they do? They call on God for help. Why? They don't trust Him for anything else. What do they do when they got children that isn't saved and they're sick, about to die or something, or just children in general? They'll pray that God saves them. Why? According to them, God don't save sinners. It's a choice. It's a decision. It's turning over a new leaf. It's a work. It can't be both. It can't be both. Either God saves sinners or people save themselves. Who do you trust? I trust the Lord. It allows us as Christians to walk boldly in a world that hates God. In a woke world. Every time somebody does something, they get themselves in trouble with this world. Look at Jason Aldean. He's in trouble with the world right now. He's like, he cares. He don't care. He's got millions of bucks. He don't care. He wants to stand up on the truth. He don't care. That's the way we have to be, folks. We have to not care. Don't let people control you. Their opinion of you does not matter. What, you want people to love you, or do you want God to love you? Do you want to walk with them, or do you want to walk with God? You want to fight with them, or you want to fight with God? The world is going to be the world. It's going to do what it's going to do. Go ahead and do it. God said we're going into a tribulation period. Take yourself and walk right into it. You're not going to like it when you get there. It's not going to be the socialist, communist world that you think it's going to be. God's going to take charge. God's going to control what's happening. God's going to send judgments down from the heavens. God's going to kill people. A third here, a third there, and eventually all of them. God's going to kill them. And after he kills them, he's going to send them to hell. That's their reward. That's what they're going to recompense. That's their reward. Acts chapter 4, if you will. But you know what the world does to us? You know what the world does to us Christians like us and other sovereign grace churches that believe in a sovereign God, that believes that Jesus Christ saves sinners? You know what they think of us? They think we're ignorant and unlearned. I mean, they got these PhD doctors in their pulpit. You know what I mean? These are brilliant men. The only thing is, they don't know anything about God. Just like that down in Houston. He don't know anything about God. That guy wouldn't know God if he's standing right in front of him. They called Jesus the devil, did they not? The Jews, of all people, called Jesus the devil. Well, let's look at some more here in Acts chapter 4. Now, when they, and verse 13, now when they saw, what? The boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Who? What? Did Jesus rub off on them? And because Jesus was ignorant and unlearned, they were ignorant and unlearned? Is that what it's saying? That's what it's saying to me. What? Is God ignorant and unlearned? And because we're God's people, we must be ignorant and unlearned because the world has so much intelligence about them? They're going to find out one day who is ignorant and unlearned. John and Peter were not ignorant and unlearned men. By any stretch of the imagination, the Apostle Paul was not ignorant and unlearned man. These Christians in the Dark Ages, in the 1500s, 1400s, 1600s, that were crucified, martyred, put on big wheels and rolled over rocks so every bone in their body was broken, rolled in lard and thrown alive to the wild animals to be torn apart, hung on crosses and crucified, took apart piece by piece, beat to death, thrown in lion's dens, had their heads cut off, were not ignorant, unlearned people. There's not anybody smarter, more brilliant than Jesus. And people that follow him are not ignorant and unlearned people. You know, they are to people that are ignorant and unlearned. Go down to, say in Acts 4 and go down to verse 28. I'd love to read all this, but I just don't have the time. We have a wedding this afternoon. I have to go down to Carthage and do a wedding for Rebecca's son, Nicholas, who's marrying his girlfriend that were here the other day, Madison, and they're getting married at 5 o'clock. In Acts chapter 4, verse 28, we ought to pray for boldness, shouldn't we? Look at verse 28. For to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word. That should be our prayer, should it not? Should we not be praying the same prayer? Even though they call us ignorant, unlearned, because we believe in Jesus Christ for salvation and not ourselves. Because we believe that God is sovereign in all things and he ordains and predetermines and does his counsel of his own will. It does not make us ignorant and unlearned. It makes us well-educated Christians. We should pray that God keeps strengthening us with boldness to believe that and to speak the truth and not waver from it. So many today are wavering from it. It's astonishing to me. As the amount of people, the amount of churches, good sovereign grace churches, good sovereign grace preachers who are falling away from the truth of God today. At the very time we speak, they're falling away. Little by little. See, once you give in, once you lose, you keep losing and losing and losing and losing. And over a period of time, you lose it all. You're now nothing to God. God has no pleasure in you. by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that the signs and wonders may be done by the nature of thy holy child Jesus. And when they heard, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Oh, wow. Them Pentecostals love that, don't they? I love it. Not the same way they do. I don't play with snakes. They do. But they love this shaking stuff, too. They love to roll. But anyway, not to make fun of them. The place, imagine, we're so strong. Listen, folks, imagine we're so strong in the Word of God that God shakes the building. We're so bold in the Word of God that the Lord shakes the building. We're so strong in our faith in God that we can actually move a mountain. Imagine. Imagine what it would be like if the Lord just, we were so strong here that the Lord shook the building. Shaking of the building, shaking of the, he says, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. We are not weak. We are a bold church. We are bold Christians. We do not allow this world to contradict us. We do not allow this world to affect us with their hate. We do not allow people in our government to control us. Even if they kill us. You don't know why those 50 million in history that we know of died horrible deaths? They were bold. They did not surrender to the world. They did not surrender to Catholicism, the Roman government, or any other governments. Even in England, they did not surrender to the governments. They came over here. And look what's happening. We're allowing England theory, England likeness to control our nation. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of my Savior. I am not ashamed of my God. I am not ashamed that He is sovereign. I am not ashamed He's given me what He's given me. Nor He hasn't given me what He hasn't. I am thankful this very day for everything my God has done for me. 1 John chapter 4. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11 and then 1 John 4. But it takes great faith, doesn't it, to stay strong, to stay bold. It does. Weak faith will cause you to fall. Weak Christians fall. They fall every time. Only strong Christians make it. Only strong Christians survive. So every time a pastor makes somebody in the church mad because he's preaching the truth, and they pack their little Bibles and their little psalm books and their little coats and they walk out the door and don't come back, that's a weak Christian. That's a weak Christian. Where are you going to go? First Baptist, you're not going to learn nothing there. Second Baptist, you're not going to learn nothing there. Church of Christ, you certainly won't learn nothing there. Pentecostal church, you won't learn anything there. Lutherans, you ain't gonna learn there. Catholics, you ain't gonna learn there. The non-denomination, you're not gonna learn there. So what they do? Most of them just quit going to church. He says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not just saving faith, that's faith in God. That's faith in the sovereignty of God. That's faith in the works of God. That's the faith in the ordained will of God. That's the faith in what God does for us. You got to have all that, folks, to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is what? God. You have to believe He's God. And that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In what? Salvation? Yes, and everything else in life. What do you seek from the Lord? You better be seeking everything. You work, you better be seeking your paycheck from the Lord. You better be on your knees asking God for things. It's called fervent prayer. Verse John chapter 4. And then I'll end this with our last point. Great faith is overcoming our fears of the world and Satan. You know who controls this world? You know when I get in trouble on Facebook and Twitter and every place else? I don't get in jail like some of them, but I'm surprised. Only God keeps me out of there. I'm talking about Facebook jail, not the little jail. But you know what gets me in trouble with people? Is my boldness. I don't care. When I put a post on, I put posts on Facebook every day almost. I don't know if only 5 people, 6 people, 7 people, maybe 10 read it and like it. Or if 100,000 read it and only 10 like it. I don't know. And I really don't care. I don't. Because anybody who reads it and is blessed by it, it's a crowning reward to God. Look at 1 John 4, verse 4. You are of God. That's who you belong to. You've been bought and paid for with price. You belong to God. And you are a little child. He says, little children, you have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You still care about the world? You see why I don't care about the world? See, God's in me. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is God than Satan. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak of the world. And the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth God, heareth us. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. What's that mean? They don't hear what I say. What I write, they don't hear. I don't expect everybody to read it like it. I don't like a lot of stuff on it. Don't get me wrong. I don't get into the likes, okay? I don't care how many likes it. Just like our webpage. If I cared about how many people come over and visit it, I'd probably just sell it out and delete it. Keep the money in the church. I mean, we can use the money in the church, right? But it's part of our mission work to get the word out to the world. And people do visit. Last month we had, 1,200, almost 1,300 visitors. To me, that's a boatload of visitors. In fact, you're going to need more than one boat. You're going to need a bunch of boats. You have God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not, or heareth not us. Hereby we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We do, don't we? We better. Let's go to our last point, which is our conclusion. Go back to our go to Hebrews 11. The battle on this earth is not ours. It isn't. The battle is not mine. It's not my job to fight wokeism, transgenderism, satanicism, Republicans, Democrats, and liberals, haters of God, haters of the Lord, haters of church. It's not my job to fight the Pentecostals. It's not my job to fight Catholics. It's not my job to fight all the others out there. It's not. What is your job, Pastor? It's to preach the truth of God in love. My job is to feed the sheep the Lord has put me in charge of. We do what God tells us to recompense our reward. So let's look at one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 is full of my favorite characters, but I love this one here. He says in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, he pleased God. How would you like for Jesus to come and you don't see death? Isn't that what we pray for? I mean, I'm not looking forward to it being in a nursing home or laying in a hospital or having cancer and dying from it or having a heart attack or stroke and dying from it. I just want to go to sleep and wake up with the Lord. That's what I want. I don't look forward to death, do y'all? I look forward to being with the Lord, and you got to die to get there, right? Unless the Lord comes. Say, well, we're still going to die. I don't care what we do. Once I leave this earth and head north, Lord can kill me 50 times on the way up. I do not care. He's going to remake this whole body. I do not care what happens once my feet leave these shoes, and because I'm going up naked, I'm going straight up with the Lord. Right? Job said, naked we come into this world, naked we'll leave it, right? We won't know no difference, will we? We'll be like the angels. You know what? There's no male or female with them. Go to Isaiah chapter 2, if you will. Real quickly, I'll end with this. I have another passage of scripture, but I've already read most of it, or quoted most of it. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and he will walk in his path. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from where? Jerusalem. You know where the first church was established? In a mountain in Jerusalem. The church was started in Jerusalem. The boldness of God's gift with people like Peter and John, who were bold, who were willing to give their life for the Lord and for the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We act sometimes like we're ashamed of it. Let's be bold. It's the gospel, folks. People are saved through the gospel. Be bold with it. As churches of Jesus Christ, we were given many gifts. We are given, aren't we given many gifts? Look around, folks. We don't have many. I don't care if we got five. Lord said, what did Lord say? Where two or more gathered in my name, what did he say? There I am amongst them. Numbers are nothing. It means nothing if you got 100, 1,000, 20 million. It don't matter how many subscribers you have. All that matters is what God is doing. Folks, we're given as church and as Christians many gifts of God. Let's do not waste the gifts God has given to us as churches and as individuals. As churches and individuals, every believer, every member, every Christian, do your part and do it boldly. They say, don't do it, do it anyway. Don't matter. Be bold. Let's all stand. Justin's going to come. Lead us in number 341. There's a reason to come this morning. You come.